here's the format we're going to do. We're going to have each of them share an idea. I asked them to do a group of those steps. And I know that's hard because they're excited about these things and you want to know that. So I told them that the Gettysburg Address was 2.5 minutes. You can say a lot. So they're going to share an idea. We'll take question or two, if you agree about that idea. And then we'll go to the next idea, the next one. I've asked them each to give us three. So if we do this right, we'll get 12. But we'll see. And then if we have time, we'll see if some ideas are good. All right, so that's our format. And we'll be real informal. We'll change that in a minute if we need to. So we're going to start with Jean McKay. You're 2.5 minutes.
Okay, timing. Okay, one idea that we've used in our local area in southwest Kansas City metro area is called Ribbons for Moms. It has a dual purpose. It's a collection project for a caring pregnancy center, perinatal hospice ministry, home for unwed mothers, help centers like that for women. It's not just a box to collect items for the CPCs or the other help agency, but it has a dual purpose, and that's why it's called Ribbons for Moms. What we do is we have a little card that's by the box of collection items that honors a mother with that gift. So we do the project between Easter and Mother's Day, usually, and then this little card, you can write on there that you've given a gift in honor of this mother and put it in your card that you send to a mother on Mother's Day, a mother that you know and love, your mother, maybe a daughter that's a mother, whoever mother you will choose to honor. So it's a really good honoring project with a dual purpose. The box itself, and I've got a full sheet at the back table explaining the whole project and how to do it, and my cell phone, which is on camera, which will show you a picture of a decorated box on a table. We also put a poster on that box that shares the project idea, the center that you're helping, and so your church knows when you set it up where the collection items are going to go to, and a little bit on the end about your local chapter. Or you can do this as an individual, or maybe a group of women in your church want to do this. So put the organization name and a contact person's name in case people in your congregation want to call you and ask you more questions about your ministry. Another important thing is that that box you'll see on the picture is designed with baby wrapping design paper. So it's very colorful. It's a very large box. You can't miss it. And the reason it's called Ribbons for Moms is that we go ahead and we have a die-cut machine at one of our Lutheran schools. So we actually cut out ribbons. And what the center needs, each item is written on one of those colorful ribbons that's taped onto the box. So people go to the box, pull off a ribbon, go home, buy the item, bring it back in, and therefore Ribbons for Moms. Let's see, one more thing on that. Because we did this as a local chapter for several years and still do it, we choose several centers in our big city to help. So each church then, with one of our chapter members in that church as the contact person, will actually support one help center. Now, if you've just got one help center in your area, of course, that's the one you would choose to support. But what you want to do is ask the center what they really need. Sometimes they already have their needs met. I have one center in town that gets their diapers from a big company, so they don't need diapers. Usually you think they do, but this one doesn't. So ask them what they need first so that you know what to write on those ribbons. So please check the camera out in the back. I don't have enough of these to hand out, but those of you who are interested can take one to show the honoring card text as well. Thank you.
Questions, that's pretty straightforward, and there's information about that. But any questions about this idea? Connie Davis.
We just heard Carol Bias talk about the war on women. And often we hear that we're concerned, pro-lifers or for-lifers are concerned about the babies until they're born, and then there's no interest in taking care of them later. This program, Parents Night Out, is a congregation in our area has developed this program. It's a free once a month respite program for parents who have children with special needs. This allows mom and dad the opportunity to do things by themselves without having to worry about care for the children. And it's not just for the children that has the disability, it's also for their siblings. So it is the first Friday of every month that they have the children come and they provide a dinner for them. And then the children are taken care of, and they enjoy activities such as open gym, crafts, music, and special entertainment while mom and dad can enjoy some time alone. This program continues October through June, not through the summer months. And volunteers are very critical for this, volunteers to help with the special needs children. And the gal who developed this says it has been a real outreach into the community, because it's not just open to members of their congregation. This is open to the members of their community. And by taking care of the physical needs of these families, they have also been able to introduce the spiritual side of life. And so it's been a real positive outreach, not only to help them fit to the help these families physically, but also then to introduce them to Jesus, and the children also. They use a lot of Sunday school materials. I asked her specifically if they have, if they do things specifically like Jesus time and that type of thing. And she said they don't really plan those things, but the movies that they show are usually Veggie Tales or some kind of Christian children's movie. They have coloring pages and books that they read that are all Christian-based. So this is another way to introduce these children to Jesus. And I also have a handout at the back, on the back table. I don't know if there's enough for everybody, but it just explains the program a little bit more. And I think that when we're for life, it doesn't just mean that we address the abortion issue. It means that we are really caring for the children, the parents, and it doesn't matter what the size or the condition of the life is, but we care for life throughout the whole spectrum.
Thank you, Connie. Questions about this? All the things that Carol mentioned that we could do.
You said this is kind of outreach by the church, so where do you advertise? Do you go to the school district or do people?
I think it's basically word of mouth.
She asked where you advertise. I was going to repeat the question so the purpose of it. Word of mouth. Sheltered workshops and areas can be a resource as well. So expressing a similar need for adults with special needs.
The
question is, was it started by someone with special needs, or is there someone there who can help those who don't have such training?
The gal who really initiated this program just felt that the Lord laid this particularly on her heart. And she does consult with people who have had training with special needs, and there is, for the volunteers who want to work in this program, they do have a training an initial training session just to introduce them to the different types of disabilities and how they can deal with the children.
Okay, thank you. Let's go on to Annette.
Well, I'm going to be talking about a bike or a walk for life event that can be done easily in your church or your community. You can do it as a fundraiser for Crisis Pregnancy Center or some other project, or just raise awareness of the life issues. It also gives the opportunity to put up a display that promotes the event, and Lutherans for Life material is available to put on those displays, as well as other resources from other places such as Heritage House and and Right to Life. It gets different ages involved, such as, you know, little ones can help in getting food preparation and that kind of thing. Gets people interested and experts involved, such as bike enthusiasts. If they like to bike, we've got one that we're preparing for this September. And it's kind of a long trek. It's 100 miles that we do. And so it does it does require some preparation. But this is on a kind of a grander scale. But a community can do this in their church, in their church, for their church. And just riding around the community, if they want to do miles, if they want to collect money for the number of miles that they drive or that kind of thing. It gets people involved as far as support people, because you need people following in the front and the back, and you can advertise what you're doing and why you're doing it. You can get computer geeks involved because they can set up websites, and you can draw people's attention to those websites, and then you can have links to other websites such as Lutherans for Life or your Crisis Pregnancy Center that you're supporting or those kinds of things. You get businesses involved that they can put up posters in their windows, and they can give donations to help, such as donations of food or advertising, those kinds of things. And then they get to advertise their business that they've sponsored you. And individuals alone, you know, if people are needed to pray and, like I said, prepare food and water support and those different kinds of things. And also crisis pregnancy volunteers. We call ahead to see if the date will work for our crisis pregnancy center, tell them what we're doing. They like to get involved, and they prepare a big meal for the bike riders when they're there. And that's not all necessary stuff, but those are just kind of some things that you can do to get lots of community and church involvement and raise a lot of awareness, because people will drive by and they'll honk and you know, they'll give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down, but at least it raises a lot of awareness, and you can pass out brochures as you're in the process of getting those things ready, and it makes people aware of what the life issues contain and those kinds of things. So.
Great, Bike for Life. Questions on that? Yes. Special permission to go into certain areas?
We never have. On occasion, we have had police escorts, because we do go through our major city in South Dakota, and it's kind of a busy time of the day. We usually do it on a Saturday. And so we've had police escorts just for safety. And usually the last few miles that we do, we have little ones biking, like 6 years old, and so we kind of take some bike trails once in a while, so we aren't so dangerous in those areas. But for the most part, no, we just go through the communities. We let them know ahead of a time that we're coming, and churches along the way will you know, set up displays, like the Witness of the Cross displays, and it raises awareness all along the way and gets people involved in different churches the way we do it in South Dakota.
As Dr. Lamb stated, Texas is in a transition, and as the new regional director of Texas, I'm going to give a little brief synopsis of what that means and how this is going to make changes, not only in Texas, but throughout, we hope, all of our Lutherans for Life congregations. This is in conjunction with our Renewal for Life program that we have, which is about equipping congregations to be Christ-centered, enthusiastic, and ongoing voices for life. Renewal for Life provides access to an online For Life library and pulls together Lutheran life-related materials into one place. It has worship and sermon helps, Bible studies, commentaries, articles, essays, audio and video files. And it's ideas on incorporating the For Life message into the ongoing ministry of the individual congregation. And Lutherans for Life wants to encourage and help pastors and congregations in dealings with the complexity of the life issues by forming life teams in their congregations. As regional director, I meet with pastors, and usually there's a life advocate or a life ministry coordinator already in this congregation, so they already know a little bit about Renewal for Life, and I'm there to help them form life teams. And so what is a life team? Well, the life team is a trained and trustworthy group that works to equip the congregation as a gospel-motivated voice for life. The teams are carefully and personally grown. All the members are trained, certified, and personally supported by a regional director and Lutherans for Life. The team works closely with the pastor and the church leadership. And I want to stress that they work closely with the pastor and the church leadership. This program is not to make more work for our pastors, but hopefully remove some of the workload, and the team would take on that. A lot of the ideas that are being shared here, the life team, that might be what they'll do in their congregation. What a life team does in one congregation, at another congregation, the life team will do something different. The life team does what the congregation is interested in doing for life. Also, if you want to learn more about both of these, we have brochures, Renewal for Life, and Renewal for Life, Equipping You to Equip Your Church. These are both at the display table of the Lutherans for Life display. And so be sure you pick these up. For more information, you can contact Lutherans for Life.
And you're especially promoting the brochure that has your picture.
Yes, this one.
Questions of Jean about Renewal for Life? Very good question. The question is, when there's a chapter in a certain area that takes in many congregations, as our chapters often do, what's the relationship going to be with Renewal for Life?
I think there's still a relationship there. We definitely support our chapters. They're very vital and important. Right, the areas I'm working right now specifically do not have chapters. I am working with some churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that has a very vibrant chapter. And we have two churches that have already been trained and are going to have life team leaders. And they are going to have life teams in their churches, and they're still members of their chapter, of the DFW chapter. So they're still going to be working actively with their chapter, but this is more specific to their church and meeting the needs, the four life needs within their congregation.
And if I could just add there.
Yes, please.
Because this is such dear to my heart, for it's not either or, it's both and we see chapters being able to help us. We have a chapter that represents all of these churches in the area that maybe can help start life teams in those churches. So, because Renewal for Life is about helping a congregation, a single congregation, make dealing with the life issues an ongoing part of their gospel ministry. So I see that we're beautifully together. And Scott Lick, right over here, he's going to be on the payroll loop in July starting in September. And his main assignment is to deal with questions like that and to look at Renewal for Life and our chapter and all our whole structure and bring us all together so we're all moving on the same direction. But we're getting off target just a little bit here. Renewal for Life is a great idea, something we can all start getting involved in. Let's go back to Gene McKay from Kansas.
Okay,
One idea that we've done two times was done by a local chapter, three times sponsored by the state, is called a Life Issues Conference. And it's similar to maybe a mini conference like we're having here today. A group of people, individuals could even do this as a group, or if you have a group in your church already that's set to organize something like this, could organize an all-day conference complete with a featured speaker and 2 to 4 workshops for people to attend. Morning refreshments and lunch are included. Crisis pregnancy centers, Christian bookstores, Right to Life organizations can be asked to have table displays at the event as well. People are charged a fee to attend according to your estimated budget figures. Students high school age and above could be given a lesser fee to attend. Pastors could be given free attendance to encourage more of them to attend from a more targeted market. Having this event annually or every other year could continue to spur interest for people to keep up on life date issues. Getting someone to donate the cost of the lunch might be a possibility, or the cost of the speaker's travel and fees could help keep the costs low, and having your workshop speakers be from the local area might make those costs a little lower as well. Some of the themes we've done in the past are the end-of-life theme with John Kilner from Trinity Evangelical School here in Chicago. We've had Dr. Robert Weiss from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, a stem cell and reproductive fertility and so forth. We've also had a themed one on abortion and post-abortion healing, and included in that a panel of parents who talked about how they've been raising their disabled, mentally or physically disabled children, and what a joy it is for them to be able to be privileged to do that. This kind of event to us got a lot of new people involved, because you can interest people to help with the lunch, the hospitality, you know, handing out flyers or whatever, that normally wouldn't kind of want to be in leadership positions as well. It's also an opportunity to invite other churches that aren't Lutheran in your area to attend. One year we took flyers and we went and hand-delivered to all the churches in our immediate area, in our county, and we tried to get to the pastor to talk about the event and Lutherans for Life as well before we handed the flyers to the church to hand out to their people. The booths that we had at some of these events were fantabulous, because there's a lot of pro-life organizations and ministries out there that are doing things that we Lutherans sometimes don't even know about. This year in our local chapter area, we're not doing a Life Issues Conference, but we're partnering with a church that already has a fall, they call Day of Discovery event. We recommended they get Dr. Robert Weiss in, and they did that, so he's coming, and so that we're able to kind of say, yes, Life Issues are going to be part of their Day of Discovery. And by partnering with them, we avoid some of the costs we would have had if we would have put this on ourselves. Can I also give my contact information? Any one of us presidents are available. You can get our information on the Nationals website. Our Kansas website is lflofkansas.org. lflofkansas.org. You'll find my contact information there as well.
Yes, and on the Lutherans for Life site, just go to About Us, and then you'll be able to get the contact for these folks. That's a good way to do this, rather than trying to take all these notes. Just say, all right, I'm interested in this. She talked about that. I'll call her. Connie.
Well, many years ago, when I first got involved with Lutherans for Life, I was able to speak at a pastor's conference. And, you know, our mission was to educate people on the life issues based on the Bible. And after I had done my presentation and talked about how, you know, education was our focus, I remember one pastor holding up his hand and he said, well, that's well and good, but what happens when you have all these people educated? What are you going to do then? So, you know, Dr. Lamb always says, you know, we're the media calls us anti this and anti that, but we're for life. And as I mentioned before, with this Parents Night Out program, a nursing home ministry program also is a for life program. It is encouraging and supporting and uplifting those who are not able to care for themselves. And perhaps your congregation already has a program. program where you have a certain group of people that goes out to the nursing homes. I know that we have that in our congregation, and one of the gals on our LFL of Michigan board does a lot of visiting of nursing homes, and she said she didn't find a lot of materials out there that would help her with that, help her with the music or what kind of devotional materials. And so she developed what she calls Praising the Lord of Life. It's a packet of, and there are some flyers on the back table for this too. It's a packet that has a couple of CDs that have old familiar Lutheran hymns on them that our older people are familiar with. It has large print words for the hymns that can be run off and used. It also has prayers, and she uses the 100 Bible Stories book from CPH. She says she has found of all the devotional materials she's used, she has found that this has worked the best because it helps them to recall the Bible stories that they learned in Sunday school. And so this is just a resource that we have developed and find that it has been a real help in encouraging people to get on board with this ministry because they actually have something in hand that they can use. And oh, there is also another one. This is a little booklet, and this is just hymns and Bible verses that can be read for the people there to encourage them.
That's Alice's book.
Yes.
Alice Oak from Michigan. I stayed with them a couple of times when I was in Michigan. And she's always singing it. Questions for Tanya. What a great resource. And we have people who want to do these things, but a little cautious about that. Everything you need, right? So,
yes, 100 Bible Stories, and you can get it from CPH.
Well, I'm going to talk about probably an older idea, the diaper derby. Many churches already do it, but I'm just going to bring up some ideas that some of the chapters or the congregations in our area have been doing to make it fun and kind of exciting. We have a chapter up in northern South Dakota who has a gentleman who makes these mock cribs, and so they make up these little mock cribs that are big enough to hold diapers and those kinds of things for a diaper derby, and they make posters and, you know, they laminate them, and they personally take them to all the churches in their area and ask them, would you consider putting this up? And so they get get different Lutheran faiths involved in it. We have Lutheran Brethren and LCMCs and different ones like that, because who can really refuse when you've got the posters right in front of you already and the collection area to put that out in your church, and all you have to do is really draw attention to it and say, hey, there's a diaper collection area out there for you. So I just really thought that was a really neat idea that this chapter had done, and it can easily be done in a church environment. With you can challenge other churches in your area. They don't have to be Lutheran. They can be different faiths. But it would raise awareness and get things going for your crisis pregnancy centers. Another idea that a church had done is they had several, like 9 people that volunteered to have them take a picture of their feet. And so they had to guess whose feet from their congregation they belonged to. And so it kind of made it a fun little diaper derby type thing. And then they gave out precious feet pins. And the winner of who guessed all the feet or the most feet won a God's Word for Life Bible. So that was kind of a fun thing that they had done. Another one is Know Your Elder. They took a picture of all the elders, and they had to guess. Or actually, it wasn't the elders. It was their baby pictures, the elders' baby pictures. And they had to figure out who the elders were, and the same type of deal, that they made it a fun thing. And who could collect the most diapers between different churches and those kinds of things. It raises awareness because you can put out information. You can put like 5-minute blurbs in your churches, like 1-minute commercial type things where people can talk about it, why they're raising the awareness, who gets to use those things, the diapers, the wipes, the clothing, those kinds of things.
Sounds like a war on women to me. Just the opposite, actually. Better be careful what I say on tape, out of context. Wonderful. Yeah, that's, diaper drives are common, but it just spices it up a bit. Imagine having fun doing poor life. Questions on that? Jane, back to you.
Okay. Again, I take a little different twist because we have so many great ideas here. A lot of times when I talk to people, they'll say, well, this is all well and good, but my pastor won't let me do that, or my board of elders won't let me put out a cross display or something at my church. So I'm going to give a little different approach. I always ask, do you meet with your board of elders once a year? Do you meet with your pastor at least once a year to let him know what's going on in For Life Arena, to keep them informed? So I personally meet with my board of elders once a year. I meet with my pastor at least quarterly. And I just keep it kind of in front of them. This is what's happening. And if something comes up that I think is really important that probably our board of elders needs to know about, or our church president, I'll send an email and say, I just want you to be aware that this is what's happening in our state, or this is what's happening in our town. If our pregnancy center is going to be having a bike rally or a golf tournament, the Life Chain, I send out an email to the leadership first and then say, can we put this in our announcement sheet to put this in front of people? Can I stand up and make an announcement on this? And so if you get that trust and relationship going with your leadership right at the beginning, it really helps, and it makes it easier to get these ideas going in your church, so your church gets more involved.
The idea of keeping a contact with the leadership in the congregation. If you take the Doug Murphy Churches for Life training for life teams and life advocates, you're going to hear him say that it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships.
Ministry flows from relationships.
Student. Gene was trained. Doug provides training also for regional directors. So Gene spent a week in St. Louis. That was a tough week.
Yes, it was.
I emailed her once about something. She says, sorry, I'm studying for my exam. So just building relationships with the leadership and the congregation. Instead of, there's walls that sometimes get put up and aggravated.
Okay, all right. I've been involved for 32 years with Lutherans for Life, almost since its inception. So I got involved in 1980, and I've seen and helped chapters start, and I've seen chapters and other individuals do lots of projects through all these years. Some are billboards that you raise money for, like with Pennies for Life. People give pennies and do things like billboards. I've seen women getting a hold of who's been born in different churches, birth of a baby, and then trying to get the address of the family and send them a thank you for giving your baby life and a little extra something as a gift. All kinds of things around the courthouse square, marching and not really marching, but, making a statement and having a speaker come. But the one that always is a standard, I think, for most of us, even if you're just an individual, you can do this one. Life Sunday displays. So get permission from the church to bring some literature from Lutherans for Life, have a table like this. Maybe if you have the soft touch fetal model or other little plastic models of the fetal babies available, are always a very good educational tool for people to hold and look at. And if it's a giveaway, they can take them away with them. What we do in our area with our chapter, though, is we try to get to as many churches as possible on Life Sunday with that display and leave it up for 2 or 3 weeks so people have a chance to see the literature, read it, take a giveaway item with you. Oftentimes we find the bookmarks are taken by Sunday school teachers because they'll give them to their Sunday school kids. We also see if we can get permission for maybe someone to speak at the adult Bible class that morning at each of those churches, or perhaps the pastor would allow that person to give their personal story of why they're pro-life and why they're Lutherans for Life at worship services themselves. One of the best ones we had in our area was we combined the collection project with Life Sunday so that the director of the CPC spoke during the worship service and gave her personal testimony of her abortion when she was younger. And that made the collection a lot higher after the collection ended. We love to do those kinds of things and offer the opportunity for people to hear more about Lutherans for Life, whatever way we can get that done. And it's very amazing when you set out a table of good literature, how that affects people. And if you leave a sign-up sheet, they may put their name and email address so you can contact them back, or they may contact you themselves saying, I saw your display. I'm really interested in more of what you do. How can we connect? So, good idea.
So displays, for Life displays. Doesn't have to be necessarily Lutherans for Life displays, but I would highly recommend. Any questions about this? Yes.
In our church, we did put up a little bit of like this, lots of letters from the equipment. And when I was standing there, one of my mothers came up and picked up all the flowers and communicated with the church. She called it. And even that book is a prayer. The opportunity to start communicating, especially as you were going to be a teacher.
Well, thank you. Just sharing a story about how it can be effective in a congregation. Okay. From the audience here, putting flowers on the altar on St. Jude Life Sunday, Mother's Day sometimes, and others in other times. Thank you. Bye.
Most congregations have a youth group, and one of the initiatives of National Lutherans for Life is our Generations for Life, which is reaching out to our youth. And we are planning our very first Swag for Life, which is a youth lock-in. I had no idea what swag meant, but apparently it means confidence in the youth circles, I understand. And we have taken that name, Swag, and kind of an understatement of that is saving, waiting, asking God for guidance. And this is really designed not just to make our young people aware of the life issues, but also to equip them to address those life issues as they go out among their peers. And we are also providing an opportunity for them to do an outreach project as a part of the registration for this event. They are asked to bring an item for a local pregnancy center. That could be, you know, any of the needs that they might have. And then they will be assembling kits to go to a local pregnancy center. We just really feel it is so important in this day and age to really that message of purity in their living has got to be shared with our young people because they're just bombarded by so many other messages out in the world. So this, we're hoping, as I said, this is our first attempt at doing this, but we're hoping that we will be able to make this an annual event and really impact some youth's lives through this.
So it's not a brand new idea that's being developed. Swag. Stands for something really good. Please.
It's
overnight conference or day long.
It's a lock-in. It's an overnight lock-in. And we are having a pastor who is doing a keynote address. We also are involving other youth. There's a group. It's called Living Stones, which is a Christian rock band. And they are all graduates of one of the Lutheran high schools in our area. And so they are going to be providing entertainment. And we also have a group of students from our Concordia Ann Arbor University that is also responsible for games and activities during the night to keep them awake. It's at one of our local churches who have a gym and a school so that we will have the classrooms for breakout sessions.
No. Are you going to sleep there?
I'm not going to be there.
you got to have a lot of sway to do a lock-in. Believe me. We used to do lock-ins frequently with our young people. I remember those days. I was young. The counselors, we carried squirt guns in case anybody nodded off. We would squirt them from the back.
Well, I'm going to address somewhat of a new idea as well, what I've considered a life rally day. We're a whole day event which would encompass all age groups from your youth to, adult. And the basic focus for this would be in not only life issues, but of godly lifestyles of men and women. And using Lutherans for Life resources, some that are written by Linda Bartlett, would include like Women's Titus 2T, the Titus 2 for Life program, and Call to Remember, which would teach call young men and old to their God-given roles. And for the younger girls, you could include, or anybody, a Dressing for Life Bible study, and would teach the young women how to dress appropriately and why it's important to dress appropriately. And there again, promoting purity and modesty and chastity and those types of things. Creation Instruction Association by Brian Young could be invited, and using Genesis material to bring across the creation and we're created in God's image and why we're important because of whose we are and who created us. This event could encompass numerous topics and focuses, but it would get all age groups involved. And you could really, if your focus was purity and modesty and teaching young men how to treat women properly and those types of things, your chivalry, it could be a very good event.
Life Rally Day. Questions on that? There are good resources available, especially from Linda Bartlett, for this kind of presentation. Jean?
We have two chapters that do orchids for life, and they do these for Mother's Day. They have found, I think it's a local grocery store chain in Texas that at Mother's Day offers orchids at a very reduced price, and if you order several, you get it even more reduced. And it's kind of a fundraiser, but they sell, they take orders prior to Mother's Day, and then they sell the orchids, I think, are $5 for an orchid. And they make, it's an actual fundraiser, and the money goes to a local pregnancy center. And this is a little bit different than the baby bottle boomerang or pennies for life, whatever you might call it in your area. And it's been quite successful. They raised several thousand dollars doing this because it is so unique. And almost everybody, especially men and boys, they want to get an orchid for their mother or grandmother or their sister. And so it's been very successful in these two. One does it, the DFW chapter is doing it, and the Houston chapter in the various churches in their areas. Another idea is an essay contest, which this is for junior high age children in the local schools, and the Houston chapter has been doing this. And the first place prize is $500, and the second place prize is $350. So there's a little incentive there to do this well and professionally, and then they have a group of people who review and grade them. And so that's another idea that you might want to do, especially if you have a church school.
Questions for Gina on that? We have about 6 minutes left. Lynette.
I neglected to bring up how you can speak from Lutherans for Life. It has 200 ideas on how you can speak in various ways and just as an individual. And so I would recommend this highly.
Thank you for the plug. Unsolicited. That's good. So I would like to make good on my offer to, we have a few minutes left, if there are any ideas from the audience out there that you didn't hear about that you'd just like to share very, very briefly. And I will come to you with the microphone so I don't have to repeat all of your good words.
Just an addendum to the collection for CPCs and their presentation on Right to Life Sunday. The display and all of that. That can work both ways. Our CPC people were astounded to find out that Lutherans have an organization dedicated to life ministry. So they were thrilled with that. We don't actually take the collection that day. They do a Change for Life program. We hand out bottles that day, and our group tags the bottles saying, "Love them both, return by February 14th. And so we give a Valentine to our CBC.
Good, thank you. Any other ideas? I know there are lots of them around here. Yes.
We involve our men's group in putting on a mother-daughter banquet. And the proceeds from the mother-daughter banquet, we select... Well, I say this like we've done this a whole lot. Last year was our first year. but we select a place for the proceeds to go. Last year, we divided it between the two pregnancy centers that serve where our congregation is located. And I anticipate in coming years, it may go to like Lutheran Child Family Services or a local adoption agency, various organizations, and it's not just show up and eat. You know, as I said, we involve the men in preparing and serving the food so that they are serving the women. And it was amazing this last year because as I was talking about it with our men's club, they were all, "That's fine, but we're not cooking." And so I got to show up early and I did most of the cooking. I'm much more comfortable cooking for 50 people than I am for two. But then that meant I got to plan the menu and all of that. And we wanted to do it big and nice this year. So it was a 7-course Italian feast. And I could do that because I was just cooking it. I wasn't doing the dishes. And afterwards, you know, 2 hours after 2 hours of doing dishes, the guy said, "Maybe we can do something less than 7 courses. but it gets the men involved as well. And that's something that I see in the life movement is a lot of times we focus on the mothers and the women. You know, the flowers for Mother's Day. What about Father's Day? And remembering that aspect of life ministry as well, and getting both men and women involved in serving one another in life ministry.
Very good. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Bravo.
Yeah. All right, one more idea, and then we have to close. So you, Pat, will have the last word.
Our Lutherans for Life group started out choosing one event a year that we could sponsor, and we decided a pastor's appreciation banquet during the month of October, when we appreciate the pastors. And we would invite pastors, all the pastors from our circuit area, to a hotel dinner, and we would have one of their congregation, who is a member of our chapter, help pay for the dinner. They paid for their way in, the pastors. And this turned into a fundraiser, because so many people were sponsoring pastors. We were like, wow, this is amazing. Plus, we would bring in a speaker. Well, we had Dr. Robert Weiss from St. Louis, and, you know, gifted. We haven't had Dr. Lamb yet, so your turn may be on the way. And that let our pastors know what our local chapter was doing, who they could come to for resources, and just give them a packet of information and a face to get to.
Excellent. Thank you very much for those ideas. Would you all join me in thanking our panelists for being with us today? You have a break now until noon, and then we're going to eat again. Back in that main room where we've been doing that. God go with you.